Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and The Living Spirit, which is a tale of people learning about spiritual communication for healing, for miracles, and a guide to soul awareness. I am most delighted today to have Kate Montana, author of The E-Word. And she's going to help listeners discover that the ego we hear so much about is really a great friend and helper for living our best life and also a guide for discovering the real you within. Hello, Kate, and thank you for joining us today.
Cheryl, it's great to be on the show. Thank you.
You're welcome. Kate, as listeners of Healing From Within have found over the years, my guests and I explore our physical and spiritual attributes in hopes of discovering who we truly are and how to, through self-investigation, self-reflection, and self-mastery, improve the quality of life personally and collectively. The world, both within and without, are parts of the circle of life, and when they work together, the possibilities for joy and love are very much within our reach. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Kate Montana, a top network TV editor, embarked on an intensive quest to find the answers to what was missing in her life, and indeed in most people's lives. She will expose the dysfunctional nature of the personal ego and show how our sense of self can be expanded into a more evolved level of functioning called transpersonal consciousness. We will discover what the ego really is and how to strip away ego-perpetuated illusions about religion, spirituality, and enlightenment. For those who can see it, it will be an eye-opening event. Kate, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember either a person or a place or an event that might have shown them or others around them their life plan or destiny, because I believe it's already present in the child, in the soul, and later down the road leads people to the life work and experiences they value as adults.
It's, two things come to mind, and it's actually two different branches of my life. One was I was raised on a farm in Virginia with raising thoroughbred horses. And so horses were my passion and my life. And being outdoors, being in the barn, riding across country, being in the woods and forests and fields, and just being out in nature was my greatest balm, my greatest inspiration. It made sense to me, and I watched the seasons pass and life as it renewed itself every year. And you know, Cheryl, that was what taught me, that's what gave me faith. And I really didn't see any difference between my idea of God and what I saw in nature. I never really kind of resonated with religion. I was raised in the Episcopal Church by indifferent Episcopalian parents. So nature was my inspiration.
Yeah, Kate, I think it was a great gift to you that you were born in such a place near the animals and nature, so you could have your already natural connection to the universe and spirit and to which would lead you eventually to the book you wrote here, The E-Word. Ego enlightenment. Yeah, so your beginning was very much present. And you also tell the story in the book, I liked it very much, of your dog Merlin, who had disappeared, and you went to a psychic named Virginia, but she didn't really want to talk about the dog. She said, the dog is coming back. You know, I'm an intuitive medium and a Reiki practitioner. So I laughed when I read this story, because she really wanted to help you see something else that was very important at the time for you. So can you tell us what Virginia told you?
Oh, well, I think I'll preface it by saying I was absolutely miserable. I was 30, 31 years old. I had been living society's happiness formula for that 30 years, thinking that, you know, life was all about making money and being successful and having a great career and foreign cars in the garage and a great bank account.
I can certainly, understand that. I lived the same way for a good part of my life until an awakening.
Yeah, most of us have, and those are all wonderful things, but
yes,
they're not going to make us happy, ultimately.
No.
And so I had just gone through a divorce, and my dog ran away. I, yanked him from a really nice, comfortable suburban backyard with a swimming pool and crammed him into an apartment in downtown Atlanta, and he hated it. And he ran away. And that's what led me to eventually go to a psychic. I was just desperate to find out if he was still alive and if he would come back. And she was very calm about it. She said, yes, he'll be back in 11 days, very precise. And then she said, now let's talk about you. And I didn't want to talk about me. I just wanted to talk about my dog. But she was insistent and said that I basically was fiddling while Rome burned. I wasn't doing what I'd come here to do.
Yes.
And I was drinking too much. I needed to quit smoking cigarettes. I needed to get my act together. I needed to get back out into nature. So, and she said I needed to meditate, which was like, really? You gotta be kidding me. So,
well, sometimes fast moving people like us find it a little difficult to slow down. But once
absolutely.
We do, it's very easy. We're meditating most of the time when we're in the car, when we're sitting watching a show, when we just let ourselves let go and relax and let thoughts empty out. Yeah. In
yep.
the shower, so, walking. It's all a form
that
of meditation.
Is the trick.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all a form of meditation. And being able to incorporate meditation as just your life.
Yes.
That's when it really kicks in. That's when the rubber hits the road. None of, to get beyond that stage where, enforced meditation for an hour or 4 hours or 15 minutes, whatever you allow yourself, and then you live the rest of your frantic day, that's kind of counterproductive.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly about that. Once you begin to, it's like brushing your teeth. Once you begin to experience it, you can fall very easily into that, I'm not going to say pattern, into that state, into that state. And it's a wonderful state. It's a state where your whole body relaxes and you're at peace and with one, and you radiate a beautiful energy. So if people walk by in that moment when you're that way, many people say to me when they walk by, gee, you radiate such a loveliness and such a calmness. It is beautiful. I'm not aware of it all the time, but when I hear it from someone, it's very, very lovely. But let's go on to Kate. What is the ego?
Right.
I don't think most people know what the ego really is.
Most people don't, and certainly I didn't. And I will just end my last conversation about the psychic. My dog did come back 11 days later, which is what led me to wonder if everything else that she told me about how I needed to get out back in nature and stop drinking and get my act together and start meditating, if she wasn't right about that. And so when Merlin came back, that's exactly what I did.
Yes.
And that's what set me eventually on the course to where we are today, me talking to you.
Right.
And knowing a lot of information about who we think we are, the
and
ego.
Who we really are.
Wow.
Yes.
And all we really are. Yeah.
Yes. And I like that you just used the word all that we really are.
Yeah.
I had my first first reading many years ago as a gift. I didn't believe in any of this. You could have said I was a skeptic, not from a particularly religious background. And yet I always had a sense of something more. And I always had a sense that when I saw grown-ups acting in restricted ways or following societal rules and patterns, that they weren't really very happy and they really weren't reaching the mark, And so I studied philosophy and religion and history and education, and it was a process of coming to realize we're so much, very much more than what we're taught to believe and what the ego or mind does believe. So tell us again about what is the ego?
It's very simple, Cheryl. The ego is simply our sense of self. It's who we think we are.
It's who and we think we are. But are we all of that? Are we only what the ego tells us we are with labels?
Absolutely not. If we were only the ego, we wouldn't even be here.
Yes, that's what I have struggled with trying to find that out for myself and to have people understand that we're a dual nature with this inner essence of energy that's eternal.
Right.
And with this body or ego mind of patterns and societal training and labels and opinions and beliefs, and that's our physical life. But when you can merge the two, it's very powerful when you can learn to know that they both serve us in some way.
Well, you know, the trick of it is, Cheryl, is realizing that we don't have to merge them because we ultimately are not dual in nature.
We're getting away from the separation to get to the oneness, but you have to recognize that most people are functioning either in one sphere or the other, and they need to come to the oneness and unity of it to really meet their full potential as they live.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so difficult because the way we start off in life, the way the ego, the way our sense of self comes into existence starts at birth. When we arrive out of the birth canal in these little baby pudgy bodies, it's astounding. It's this tidal wave of sensory information assaults the little baby brain, and it's just like our eyes, our ears, nose, skin, tongue scream.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! Physical body. You know, the sensations soak up the brain at 11 million bits of sensory information every second. That's what the little baby has to start with at the very, very beginning. The moment those eyes open, it's like, holy Moses.
That's why so many people have so many problems as they go along, because those patterns that were formed from the beginning and that that information coming in and the fear that was developed as a result of not being able to handle it all is what sets up the patterns that eventually we have to overcome when we go back to trying to figure out who we are, what we can really do with our great capacity for love and compassion and goodness and conquer these fears and limitations that have been set up over our earlier years. So it's quite a challenge, but I guess that's how it's supposed to be, because that's how it happens for all of us.
Well, that's just the nature of the appearance of physicality. That's just the nature of how this world, this sensory, physical, apparently physical existence works. And so the unconscious message 24/7 is I am physical, but there's an accompanying message that's completely unconscious that it's like the water a fish swims in that we're so unaware of, is the message also from our body's senses, from my eyes and everything, tells me I'm separate. I'm separate from the world. My little baby eyes open and mommy's outside of me. The breast is outside of me. The bottle, the milk I hunger for, is outside of me. It's not me. And somehow I've got to figure out how to manipulate the world around me so that I will get what I hunger for, whether it's affection, whether it's sustenance, whether it's comfort, whether it's any sort of support, safety. You know, this is what we're dealing with, Cheryl.
Yeah.
The issue is the message, I am physical and I am separate. Because from that sense of separation that you are outside of me and I'm over here alone and I've got this skin suit on and I've got these boundaries and you and I are not connected and you can hurt me. You can hurt me physically. You can hurt me emotionally.
Yeah.
Psychologically and intellectually. So this is what we carry around with us 24/7 all of our lives.
So that's
11 million bits of data assaulting our brains every second of our lives, telling us I'm separate and I'm physical.
Well, that's the human perception.
So
yeah,
that's the human perception.
It's inaccurate and it's very problematic. So,
well, it's not even problematic. It's the whole core of what we're dealing with, Cheryl. That is the entire thing right there in a nutshell. Because what happens is at about age 12 months of age is, you know, your mommy held you and, you know, cradled you, and neighbors came by and other people, you know, said, Cheryl, 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 oh, Cheryl. You know, your little baby brain didn't know who the hell Cheryl was, but there was these words, the sound, Cheryl. And all of a sudden, somewhere around 12 months of age, your brain went click. Oh my God, if you had words at that moment, your brain would have said something like, oh my God, I think Cheryl's my name.
But
what happens is there's no language at that moment. So all that happened is your brain hooked up the sound Cheryl with this unconscious weird sense that you'd been having with no language to it, going this knowledge that you're separate, that you've got a skin boundary.
But,
and all of a sudden,
yeah,
and
but,
that's the big, Cheryl, let me just finish this. That is the coat hanger moment. That is when the ego begins to form. You have now language. You learn I and me and you and us and them. You learn you're a little girl. You learn your parents go to this church or that church or no church. You learn all these things, but it's that first moment of language, Cheryl, hooked up to that sense, that weird sense of being separate from everything else in life, that is the very beginning of who we think we are. That's the beginning of the ego. That's the beginning of the illusion.
All right,
so that's
but,
what we've
but Kate,
to
also, also, Kate, there are, I would say, maybe 20% of sensitives who even at a very early age know that that is not who they are. Because I remember at 3 years old laying on the ground and crying and looking up and saying, why did you drop me here? Now, I wasn't at that point aware of who I was talking to. But I was aware that the physical reality was not everything.
Sure.
So there are sensitives who, from a very early age, are searching to understand what they're being
Absolutely.
Told in the physical world and what they're feeling within what they come in, what their soul comes in with, the wisdom and knowledge that they already have within them. And for those
Absolutely.
People, it's still very difficult for them to maneuver and find the way back to this wholeness or oneness or unity that we talk about, because outside world is hammering us to be like everyone else and to fit in according to the rules of the physical world. And so it is quite a challenge. And, you know, I address that failure to rise above the limitations of physical life. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote it this way. You're saying pretty much the same thing. Through Reiki sessions, I assist others to trust themselves enough to connect to their higher energy and consciousness, let go of negativity that resides in their thoughts or actions. Negativity in any form creates a lower vibration that hinders any chance of evolution. At the same time, it is understood that there will always be people who choose to hide from their problems, whether out of fear or ignorance or simply not knowing an alternative way. Perhaps they feel the darkness around them so intensely because others have acted towards them inappropriately, or they simply do not realize their true inner soul wisdom. And in actuality, only going through the light and full truth of self can bring about peace, harmony, balance, and the end of suffering. So this is the journey of the ego and the soul to find the truth about who we are. And once you do, it is a great gift. Don't you think so, Kate? Don't you think?
The whole journey,
Yeah.
The whole journey, Cheryl, is, I mean, when you say we have to learn to trust ourselves, they need to trust themselves.
Yes.
The issue is, what self are they? The whole question, it couches around, who am I, really? And so to trust the ego self, the story of Cheryl and the story of Kate, the little girl and the writer and the psychic and the, all of these are just stories that get hooked on, that the brain latches onto, that spins the tale of Cheryl. So that's not who you really are, but it is the story. But it's beautiful, but it's a beautiful story that
Spirit
is spinning out.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
But it's not us.
But,
You know, you and well, I know that that's not who we are, you know.
It's not who we really are.
No.
It is the story that this life, it's the story of this life. So in the, so the root core of fear, and this is what we find so much that we're dealing with today in our political global situation, is there's so much fear out there. And for example, I don't want to get into politics, but for example, the politics of a Donald Trump versus a Bernie Sanders, for example, one is very self-protective, one is very fear-based, you know, we're talking building walls,
Kate.
More weapons. Can I just finish this? I don't want to get political about this, but it's great examples. So we will have a limited ego that it thinks that the ego is it. I'm it. You know, Kate Montana, look at me, I'm it. That's the fear, that's what triggers fear, is because that story is all based in that unconscious sense of separation. And so that's this beautiful journey of the ego, is educating the limited fear-based, oh my God, I'm separate and alone and therefore vulnerable and frightened, and move that and educate that ego through an understanding, oh my God, Cheryl, just imagine if we trained children to understand what the ego is. It's a sense of self. It's simply a structure, a tool.
But you do mention in the book different levels of ego consciousness and self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And the sixth is the highest. But 80% of our country and world are at a 40% level, because until we have enough resources and enough ways to have everyone feel more secure in surviving in the world, we won't have enough people at that sixth level. We are headed there. And we are going to get there eventually, but we're not there yet. So
why do we become devices? Why are we fear-based? Oh, my God, just having that conversation, that's the greatest thing that could possibly happen to this planet. Because now we are going to be forced to engage these kinds of conversations, go, wow, well, why doesn't this work? Why are so many people upset and at each other's throats? Why do we have such a disparate perception between different camps? What's really going on? Oh, God, and then maybe someday we might wake up and start embracing our own science, which for the last 100 years, quantum physicists have been telling us and been revealing that science itself demonstrates what the mystics have known for thousands of years and been trying to tell us. My father and I are one.
Oh,
treat
yes.
Your neighbor as yourself.
You did say that. I love that. My father and I are one, and the mystics and shamans and healers and mediums, people like you and I, have been pointing out the unity of all life for thousands of years. But the untrained mm-hmm. and unmanaged ego can't see this deeper truth. So you're right. Right now is the time when it's all happening. This is a major shift, and there's nothing bad, even though people may have been unhappy how the election went. I believe it was spiritually guided, part of a higher plan, and that ultimately many people will awaken and move from their fears and ego-based reality into a higher way to embrace each other and to live on a higher level. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's the direction life moves. Mm-hmm. Life is evolutionary. It's its very nature. Growth is the nature of the life force. So everything that happens is on a positive trajectory, taking us into a evolutionary growth-filled place. Even though it may look like setbacks, even though it may
yes.
look unbelievable and terrible, it's always, life is always moving us toward in a growth-filled direction. So it's wonderful.
Yes, and I know you believe humanity is at a tipping point, as do I, but this is the time for our dear children to grow up, and I guess Spirit would say to us, and the blessing of growing up or having a soul maturity is that life can become happier and more satisfying and fun. We don't have to take it all so seriously. That's what people are doing right now, because they're forgetting about their soul-based wisdom, and they're buying into the fears of the mind.
So, well, they're giving into the fears of that are in alignment with the message the brain gives us 24/7, every moment of our lives.
Yes, yes.
We can't dismiss this. I mean, we can talk about words like spirit and soul, which people, you know, whether it's in a religion or a spiritual or, you know, discipline of sorts, we talk about these things. The trick is to induce the experience of these less physical, less separate based states. That's the trick, is to give people the experience of unity.
You know, we can't dismiss it, but we don't have to let it encompass everything. We don't have to be drawn into it. We can resist and go back into the better feelings that we want to hold on to. And you wrote this, Kate, knowing as Buddha advertised and becoming self-aware, not just listening to the voices of emotions and habits that comprise our personality, but the presence behind all that, the observant self or silent witness, the inner observer, the soul, the I am, is the difference between modern psychology and the mystical traditions in terms of consciousness. And it's where we're going. We're going to have it. We're going to have it all. I want to thank you, Kate Montana, author of The E-Word, for sharing a truly, really truthful and concise way of the way the ego is created, how it thinks, and how its limited mindset can be expanded, not inflated, and move us forward into clearer, wiser ways to think and create a better life. For more information, go to katemontana.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have seen how our physical, ego-driven mind often undermines our more humanistic, loving, heart-based and soul thinking, or the I am of our being, by tricking us into relying on the outside world as a panacea of truth, masking or making us believe that what we see with our physical senses is a true gauge for knowing who we are and what is real in our life. Kate shows how decades of progressive thinking and legislation are going up in smoke. Donald Trump's election and the UK's exit from the European Union are being heralded as the dawn of a new world order. And people want to know, why is this happening? It is happening because as a nation, as an entire species, we've neglected to understand our true nature as spiritual beings having a physical life. We failed to grasp the nature of the human ego and the root program running our lives, which encourages many people to engage life with fear and negativity. In the book, Kate writes several poems that express the truth and depth of who we are. And one of them is, "Who am I? Who am I? Oh, what a mystery. I am is who I am. Pure existence, pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure boundless intelligence. I am life, rolling like thunder, gathering experiences. How to explain something so empty and yet so full? It's far easier to explain what I am not. I am not my body. I am not my mind. I am not my emotions. I am not my ego. And yet, in my fullness, these expressions become part of all that I am." Kate and I would have you know, at this tipping point in time, the way forward is being orchestrated by a higher loving intelligence, affecting so many of us as we grow quiet and in the stillness of our thoughts realize that the world and its challenges are offering us the opportunities to know ourselves as interconnected souls, indeed bringing our healed ego and hearts into harmony and balance. The time is now, and we are ready for change, so we must benefit from working cooperatively for the good of all. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about the story of life as shared by many conscious beings, illuminating through studies of energy and physical life, unifying science, spirituality, metaphysics, religion, and the arts for an accurate view of who we are and how wonderfully rich life can be when we live with awareness. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.